All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, SummerSlam. Did you love it? Did you not? I'm joined by my brothers. You'll see after the intro to the show.
No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this edition of Break It Down with Brian H. I'm your host, Brian H. Waters. And of course, it's a SummerSlam post show, the biggest party of the summer. So I'm joined by my brothers. I'm going to start first with, you already know, the co-owner of the brand, the one and only, the remarkable, the impeccable, the real Dwayne Allen.
What's up, bro? Chillin', man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, as always. But you know how we do. This ain't our first rodeo.
Exactly. And then we're going to go over to the Flex Zone as the Black American Dream himself, the one and only Dre. What up, Dre? And Dre is, can you hear us? Dre, we can't hear you.
Dre.
But, you know, he'll fix that audio. But, you know, speaking of audio, we're going to go to the audio master of the Flex Zone, the one who has a degree in this. How do I know? Because we was in the grind at the Great Morgan State together. The one and only, we call him Unk, the one and only Raj. What up, Unk?
What's going on, everybody? This is Raj from the Flex Zone, Raj Lee Herring the third. You know, in the house with my boy, Brian and Dwayne, you know.
Put his whole gunman out there.
SummerSlam, and you know, good big Goofy D is on top of me real quick. He'll tell you who he is. He's really goofy. He's
hey,
really large, and he'll let you know.
People who not live, but the people who not live, they will say, "What is he talking about?" For those on Apple, Google, and Spotify, he's talking about the view, ladies and gentlemen. We're live on YouTube right now, immediately after SummerSlam, but he already gave him an intro, but I'm gonna bring him in anyway, and that's the one and only Damaris Dye. What up, D?
What's going on, Brian? Everybody, you know, Unk, he's old and stubborn in his ways. We'll get to that shortly. But of course, check out the Flex Zone every Monday night, 10 p.m. We're gonna, you know, sprinkle on a little dust about SummerSlam, but we're gonna give it to you fully tonight. Not that the goofy man himself, Dre, come back on, we'll be rocking and rolling.
Right there on your screens, ladies and gentlemen, you can find where you can get the Flex Zone at the Flex Zone 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and make sure you like the Facebook fan page. That is where you can get your sports fix from. And of course, make sure, if you haven't done so by now, subscribe to the Wrestling Realm. Click the subscribe button.
Yes.
And if you're watching live, drop a comment in the chat already. We're going to get right into it, but I got to acknowledge my brother in the chat, always supporting since day one, the one and only Shark Williams. Shark,
hey, what up, my guy?
Yeah, Shark says, he's right where we're going. He says, you know, here's a question. Do we count this as a heel turn for Roman? Roman Reigns makes his comeback. Gentlemen, they said we would never see it coming. That's what we kept hearing. Some people thought it was maybe the backslide that Drew McIntyre successfully pinned Randy Orton with. And that was, you know, some people thought it was underwhelming. I liked it. We'll get into that later. But Roman Reigns is here. He's back. How do y'all feel? Dwayne, you kick it off.
First of all, what the heck happened to Dre? Where is Dre?
There he comes.
Here comes out. Well, there he goes. There he goes.
Fix your Wi-Fi, man. Like, dude, I couldn't even go on my rant without make sure you was here first. Like,
I'm a Tongo fan.
Hey, look, and I appreciate you, brother.
That's brothers. That's how Ladera said, hold on, wait. First of all, where's Dre? I can't start. It's like, my bad. Brian, what was the question again? He made me lose my train of thought.
Roman Reigns is back.
Okay.
How do you feel?
No, I think it's a good move. The WWE is desperately in need of star power. I think the WWE is at a phase right now where they've taken the approach of, let's try to start to make new stars. Let's try to push some of these younger characters just to get people familiar, especially during a downtime like this. With everything they had going on with the Thunderdome and the approach, and even the main event itself with Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, I think seeing Roman is going to help boost what they're trying to do next. But it was a good way to bring him back, you know, in a way that was special, not just him just popping back up saying, I'm back. So
did you like the attitude? We saw him come out there, remind the Fiend, or I should say, start with Braun. He reminded him that I made you into the monster. You know, their rivalry goes all the way back way before when it seemed like Braun just couldn't get over the hump to become a champion. How did you feel about that part?
No, I think it's necessary. Like, but the thing is, in the pandemic age of professional wrestling that we're watching, it's easy for things to get stale quicker. Seth Rollins made a comment earlier. He was saying this generation doesn't have the patience for the slow build. It's even worse now during the pandemic and the presentation that we receive from any wrestling company. So I think adding Roman back into the mix is only going to continue to help Strong solidify Braun Strowman as a main event player rather than just a kind of a brush and a win.
Yeah. Flex Zone, y'all kick it off. What y'all think?
Go ahead, Dean.
Well, it wasn't bad. I don't know if it was a heel turn or not because he did attack both guys, but it might be Roman just being in the middle. But it was good for what it was, to Dwayne's point. They need star power. I think a lot of us do miss Roman, miss what he brought to the table. I actually like the shirt he had on as well. And for what it was, to end out the show, it did its job.
Mm-hmm. All right. I thought you were going to go, Dre.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I thought it was cool he came back. I did miss him. I did. I'm like, y'all, I don't hate Roman Reigns. I really don't. I thought what he did at WrestleMania was phenomenal. I enjoyed every bit of it, of not being there. It was great. And I'm glad that he's healthy. I'm glad that he's back. I just wish it was tomorrow night. I wish Braun would have had his moment because, let's be real. He didn't have it at Hell in a Cell. Well, The Fiend, I'm sorry. The Fiend, he didn't have it at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania, he didn't have it at WrestleMania. Uh-huh. So SummerSlam, everybody knows he's getting the belt back from Braun Strowman. And again, I just didn't like him. I didn't like him getting beat down like that. I mean, the brother just had a moment. He didn't even have a moment. I mean,
I didn't think it was so cut clear.
No,
Eminem got his behind whipped.
Well, to me, the part that I think that I was thrown off about, it really wasn't Strowman getting beat up. It was, like you said, The Fiend. I would have liked if he had just went after just Braun Strowman. That would have continued a new rivalry. With Payback coming up, you already see that it's going to be a triple threat match for the Universal title coming up. But the fact that The Fiend got his behind whoop too, it's kind of like it's head scratching. So you didn't see that coming because I didn't think Roman Reigns was coming back for a while.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I mean, when they said never saw it coming, I figured something would be like Sister Abigail into the picture, but I didn't see Roman Reigns.
Dre, we all know you was hoping it was CM Punk.
No.
the chump. What do you mean, CM Chump?
Waste of money.
The Chump ain't coming back.
be respectful to CM Punk. Be respectful.
CM Chump.
Was y'all disappointed that we didn't get a cash in tonight? You know, I mean, anytime somebody has the briefcase
and the
champion is laid out, you know, usually if it's a live crowd there, I think there's people maybe yelling for Otis. Are y'all buying Otis as a Money in the Bank briefcase holder? Dwayne?
No.
Honestly, the thing is, I'm kind of confused, and I think they leave room for versatility when it comes to Otis in particular with the Money in the Bank briefcase. Because on one end, you can say, okay, you know, I don't see this guy as a world title contender. But on the other end, he has made comments saying, oh, no, when I catch it, it's going to be for the tag titles anyway. So what difference does it make? So, I mean, where do you go? I think the question marks allow them to do whatever they want to do with the idea. But I never once saw him as a world champion anytime soon. You know, I see him as a fan favorite, but as a top guy or somebody feel like we can push, nah.
Totally agree, Dwayne. Totally agree, bro.
Hey, Dwayne, you're on the money with it. I mean, Otis, you know, like you said, he's a fan favorite, and then, you know, at WrestleMania, his moment was kind of taken away. That's the type of moment that you're hoping for when he beat Ziggler. Because, you know, you kind of, like, want that guy to get over, get the girl. and he missed his WrestleMania moment, but I haven't seen him as a world championship contender yet. And I see him actually losing the Money in the Bank briefcase, similar to what Mr. Kennedy,
yeah,
when he lost it.
But you know,
in that type of fashion, I don't see it as what was my guy with the ass guy, and he lost
Damian Sandow.
I don't see it in that fashion. I see him doing it in a Mr. Kennedy fashion where he loses it to somebody and then they cash it in.
But Dre, the important thing about you said, Dre, before Raj, you go ahead, you gotta remember why Otis got that briefcase in the first place. Mm-hmm. Otis got that briefcase when the pandemic hit and the WWE was struggling with the whole empty arena concept, and he just got hot really, really quick. And they kind of just went with it, you know what I mean? But it was just kind of like, mm-hmm. now once that kind of fizzled out and they kind of figure everything out, it's like, well, does this guy really world champion material? So, it, you know, just to go back to your point, Dre.
Yeah, that's why I said I think that they pass it on to somebody, because it's weird. Like, you want to go with the hot hand, but right. without the fans being there to continue the momentum,
absolutely,
it really fizzes out and there's no long-term plan behind it. So yeah. It's a weird concept with WWE right now, because usually we see the opposite. Usually they go with a long-term plan as opposed to going with the hot hand. This mm-hmm. is one of the few times they went with the hot hand and now it fizzled out and you're kind of like, well, where do we go from here?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, to be honest with you guys, I kind of wish that it was used in a hair versus hair match. Now, I wish Mandy Rose would have lost and Sonya Deville would have won. And on top of that, Otis mm-hmm. could have traded the briefcase to Sonya Deville, you know, to save Mandy's hair. I mean, I thought that would have been extremely creative.
That's just what? When you're not trolling, you're on to something. I'm trolling, brother.
I told you, I listen to the best.
No, see, anyway,
you listen to somebody.
Anyways.
We'll get into Mandy Rose and Sonya, because I think circumstances really switched that. We'll get into that later.
I agree.
Right. But and that would have been fantastic for Sonya Deville because of the situation that happened to her earlier in the week. But I mean, is Otis a main event guy now? No. I mean, has he been a main event guy now? No. Why did he get the briefcase? Why did he get the briefcase? Who knows? Maybe Vince liked the way he ate donuts in the back. Who knows?
I really don't know. That's right, pal. Eat them donuts. Eat them.
But yeah, he's not cashing. I mean, he's going to lose that briefcase to somebody. Somebody's goofy is going to take it. And that's just going to be the thing with Otis.
Yeah, I mean, let's move on. WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre finally gets a win in front of fans. Before we came on the air, Raj and D and y'all were saying that finally, you know, he gets a meaningful win. He picked up the win over Randy Orton. I know a lot of wrestling Twitter did not like the backslide. They hated the fact that that's how Drew won. But me personally, yeah, it was personal. You saw a little bit of blood, but it made sense because, I mean, Randy Orton is so smooth. A guy like that, you take a win any way you can get it. D, go ahead.
Hey, look, first of all, I didn't care how it happened. As long as Drew won the title, retained the title, that's all that mattered to me. We don't want to see Randy Orton for the 14th time with the title. That's old, been there, done that. I'm glad he won. I know Orton's on a run right now. He's going to eventually fight Edge again. They're probably saving that for Mania once Edge returns.
You don't want to see no more?
No more Randy Orton title reigns. I am done.
You're tripping.
We're good.
I'm okay
with it. We are good.
He's not even 40 yet, right? He's not 45.
He's like 39, I believe.
Yeah, he got about another 10 years in the business.
He got a nice looking wife, nice kids. Eat some blue chew. I mean, eat some stuff and go.
They don't pay us. We're not mentioning them. They're not paying.
The blue pill. The blue pill. We'll just say
that. Hey, what if they decide to sponsor the show from there on, Brian? Would you take that money?
You know how we do, bro. Look, you see, everything got both of us, so we had to talk about that.
Yeah. That's right.
But Dwayne, so how you feel, Randy Orton? I know you're a huge Randy Orton fan. Do you think we've seen the last of his title runs? And where do you see the cap off for him? Flair once said, you know, obviously there was a lot of emotions behind it, but mm-hmm. Flair said he wants to see him break his record. Is that something we see?
I think it's possible. I don't know if it's something we actually see, but it's definitely possible. Because think about Randy Orton's position right now in the company. Randy Orton has stepped up when it was desperately needed, especially during this pandemic. Randy Orton proved to everybody why he's worth his contract, why he's one of the golden children out of him and John Cena, and why he has a position that he has in the company as well as in the locker room. Randy Orton has always been passionate about making new main event stars. That's what Randy Orton loves to do. And for him to be the focal point of this feud between him and Drew McIntyre, and it gives Drew the opportunity to come up to Randy's level. The finish itself didn't bother me because in my mind, I don't think this is the last time we see Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre, because the story continues. It could always go with, well, you got lucky. It doesn't seem finite. It doesn't seem like it's finished to me. But I think it's also a sign of respect, because sometimes the top guy in the company doesn't need to take the guy's finisher as a loss, you know? And for him to say, okay, Randy Orton is that dude. And Drew McIntyre, as good as he is, he barely beat Randy Orton. Even in a loss, it gives a certain level of respect and upper echelon to Randy Orton and his status within the brand and where you can go with it. Because now Randy Orton can pick any spot on the card each week, and he'll still be respected. Versus before, when they've been creating new stars, Randy Orton has had to take a back seat, and he hasn't really looked at as a main player with a long-term storyline. So at the state that he's in right now, the shape that he's in, what he's able to do on the mic, psychology-wise, you know, and what he can kind of bring to these younger main event guys now, like a Drew McIntyre, you never know. It's a possibility that Randy Orton could have another one or two title reigns left in the system.
Dre?
Hey, man, my brother is always on the money.
I totally
agree. I think after Ric Flair's promo, I think Randy could surpass Ric Flair's title reign. Yeah. And the way that Randy Orton is right now, I mean, he's on fire.
Yes, he is.
I didn't expect that, honestly. I love that he stepped up. Right now, it's must-see TV. Whenever Randy is on, it's like I have to immediately tune into Raw. Despite everything else on Raw, I mean, I love seeing Randy Orton on Raw. Uh-huh. And the fact that the Legend Killer is back, it's just bringing the whole Randy Orton persona full circle. I mean, this reminds me of, like, kind of Evolution is, but, like, at the same time, we're getting the voices in his head type of Orton. And, like, Dwayne was saying, this is not over. The fact that it was a backslide and it wasn't a... He didn't hit the kick on him, but yet it finished like a backslide where it's like, okay, you got lucky. We can have another match. Hopefully it's not a payback, but hopefully we have another Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre match, which I would love to see. I'm curious to see what they do for both superstars moving forward. However, I didn't mind Drew actually winning, because in the fashion that he won, this was to me the best storytelling of the night.
Best storytelling of the night.
100%.
Yeah, can't disagree there.
Well, my thoughts is this: I didn't care who won the match. It could have been Randy. It could have been Drew. It didn't matter to me. But I thought I thought that, you know, after everybody that Randy Orton was kicking, we didn't see Ric Flair get kicked. And I was thinking, since we didn't see him get kicked, and of course the swerve was, you'll never see it coming. I thought Ric Flair was going to show up and help, you know, Randy Orton get another title reign. I thought it was going to happen, and it never came to pass. And I was disappointed with that. And the finish, I didn't like the finish. The match was kind of slow. I mean, but it wasn't a bad match. It was a typical Randy Orton match, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
A hard hitting, you know, methodical. We even had blood work. So I mean, it was cool to see Randy Orton still doing what Randy Orton does after all these years. And I believe he is the number one force on Raw right now. I mean, you got Raw Underground. You got a bunch of other goofy stuff that's going on. Randy Orton has been consistent since this lockdown
that's the biggest word. He's consistent. Yes, indeed.
Consistent. He's been consistent and he's been very entertaining. So hats off to, you know, Drew and Randy. Hopefully we do see a rematch. Hopefully it's not a payback. Hopefully it's a stipulation to it too.
Yeah.
And if Randy gets it then, yeah, he gets it. I don't have a problem with him with Drew losing the belt at this point.
Yeah. We'll see. Before we go to break, I want to talk about a debut. Actually, we're going to talk two debuts. We're going to mix some takeover in here. Tonight, we saw Dominic Mysterio making his debut, a match. He obviously fell short to Seth Rollins. Going into this, I was like, why do I want to see this kid wrestle? He looks bland. He doesn't have any type of charisma. But I have to admit, the match was not that bad. I actually enjoyed it. Was he Pat McAfee? No. I really enjoyed Pat McAfee and Adam Cole. I think it showed people how good Adam Cole, Bay Bay, is. But tonight, you know, Seth Rollins is obviously a ring general, and Dominic has it in his blood. What did you guys think when you watched this match? Anybody go ahead and jump in there?
I guess I started off. They kind of gave away the whole kendo stick thing the last 2 weeks. So then you kind of was like, do you really want to see it now or not? But mm-hmm. I knew Mysterio, both Mysterios, would do well in the match because of the way the storytelling is. Rey Mysterio is a professional. We've seen him over 30 years now. He's taught his son well, knows what to do to psychology. Seeing Angie Mysterio, first time since, what, SummerSlam 05? Got to see her out there as well. It was good storytelling. Seth Rollins is a good heel when he don't cut them boring promos.
Yes, indeed.
NyQuil boring promos he cut. It was a good match. Murphy's getting elevated as well, and it's helping everybody out in the process.
I enjoyed the match. I thought this was the best match. This is one of the best matches.
Why? Because somebody took a beating?
Yes.
Seth Rollins.
Hand claps to Seth Rollins, man, for carrying Dominic Mysterio, brother.
Yeah,
I mean, he made Dominic look pretty good.
He did an excellent job.
This was his first match that we ever seen him in. And I thought he did a good job, man. I love the kendo sticks. I love what Murphy was doing. He was feeding him. He was feeding him all kinds of weapons. Seth was, you know, taunting Rey Mysterio. And as D said, whatchamacallit, up the ramp. I just thought it was really entertaining.
And Raj, considering you are our group chat troll,
yes.
What did you think about
Devil's Advocate right there?
Yeah. and this is fun, ladies and gentlemen, because y'all actually get a piece of the group chat that goes on all day, almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, literally. But what did you think when you saw, and did you notice Seth Rollins' gear tonight? Wearing Rey Mysterio's gear that he wore against Eddie Guerrero at Halloween Havoc 97.
No, I did not notice that. I did not notice that at all.
So I tell y'all, y'all got to stay on Twitter.
Wrestling
Twitter.
I can't be on Twitter, brother. That's where the king trolls are. I can't do that.
Oh, you can't roll with the big dogs. That's what you're saying.
Roll with them. They different.
Yeah, you ain't lying about that. They definitely are different.
Can't roll with them. Can't do that.
But yeah, so, you know, cool. I was like, oh, Rollins has some cool looking gear. Shout out to the Dead Ass Girl podcast.
The podcast name.
Dead Ass Girl.
was he doing a gender reveal? Because, you know, a slight gender reveal because it was in pink. But, you know, I'm scrolling down my timeline and I remember the announcer did say something about Halloween Havoc 97. Yeah. Yep. And I was just thinking he was just talking about it because it was a classic match between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. But then I looked and I saw the gear, and then shout out to Sasha Banks' husband who designed the gear. I believe he designed, at least he tweeted about it, you know. Yeah. So I mean, it just goes to show you Seth Rollins is that dude, like y'all said, he doesn't have to cut those annoying promos.
Or be on Twitter. Or any social media platform.
He rides for the WWE, man.
No,
he wants to do like John Cena, except John Cena doesn't go back and forth with people. John Cena does it on ABC and CBS and CNN.
And Randy Orton does a good job as well and cutting folks as well.
Did y'all see somebody said a good WWE network content would be Randy Orton watching independent matches?
Woo!
But man, Orton's on one. But I mean, that's Seth, and Dominic match. I figured that I actually expected this. I knew that he would come out good just because, I mean, what the build-up itself, the storytelling in itself was going to make the match what it was. But then just seeing little bits and pieces of how he was able to continue this storyline, I figured that the match would actually be good of itself because Seth Rollins is one of the best in the business. And then Dominic, we've seen, like I said, little chunks of what he was able to do. I did expect for Dominic to win, though. So I was a little disappointed that the Mysterio family didn't finally get that victory. However, it makes me curious to see what they're going to do to continue the storyline because I know it's not over.
Oh, I know. I have an idea. Payback tag team. Rey Mysterio, Dominic versus Seth Rollins and Murphy.
Well, tomorrow he's gonna have to have cut an emotional promo about how much he loves him and you're my son and it was always my dream to do this, yada yada yada.
Yeah, I could see that because I mean, hopefully we don't have this match on Raw. That's just my thing, but you know how the WWE's been doing lately. But I like that idea of them having the match at Payback with the pay-per-view happen so soon after SummerSlam. I think Dominic can do real good within the WWE and also Rey Mysterio too. You know, hopefully he'll get his eye back one day, but we'll see. I do actually love the storytelling. That's been another good factor. I think that the storytelling in that match has been good and the longevity of it and the surprising the fact that Dominic was able to carry this storyline. Then you bring Rey back into it. It brings this thing full circle. And then I like what you said, Brian, about Eddie Guerrero tying him into it, because I did hear that that Halloween Havoc commentary as well. And I was just thinking like, all right, what does Halloween Havoc have to do with SummerSlam? But now you saying that brings that full circle as to why they made that comment. So I'm curious to see what happens future-wise for this, but I've been loving the whole storyline with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins has been actually, to me, doing a really good job as far as mic skills. However, it can't be just long drawn. When he gets to the social media aspect of it, that's when you kind of like, all right, Seth. But as far as like this Monday Night Messiah persona that he has, I'm loving it and I'm digging it, but can we just get a functioning faction for him? Because we have Murphy, but then the AP is out, and then it was supposed to be another guy,
Austin Theory.
Austin Theory, and Austin Theory's not there. So can we just get a functioning faction for him to continue the Monday Night Messiah?
Well, Theory got jammed up in the sexual allegations, so
we just need some players to keep it going. But outside of that, I think that Seth has done a really good job with the Monday Night Messiah persona. And who knows what happens with him down the road. Do we see a title run, or does he just continue to wreak havoc among random superstars once the Mysterio family feud is underway?
He's doing his best to try to get CM Punk's attention.
Keep trying. Like, at first, it was real high. Let me just comment real quick before anybody hops on about CM Punk. I think that it was good at first, but I think that I remember Jim Cornette saying that what the issue was once he signed to Fox to do the show, his light dimmered, and it's not the same. Like, you would like to see a CM Punk return, but it's not as hot as it would have been had he not just did the show. And I think that him doing the show on Fox really hurt his in-ring return. At this point, I'm not really curious to see CM Punk return to the ring anymore. So if it was like Seth Rollins and CM Punk, it doesn't, to me, have the full steam as it would have had he never returned to do Fox.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I think it's a lot to unpack in this match. Like, Rey Mysterio, first of all, is one of the most respected professional wrestlers in the world by today. I don't think you'll ever come across any major player that won't give Rey Mysterio the level of respect that he's kind of revered in. The one thing I learned tonight about Dominic Mysterio, first and foremost, like, you guys made excellent points. So there's no point in me trying to go back and just piggyback and say, I didn't realize how good Dominic Mysterio was until this match. Mm-hmm. One, let me tell you why. Because for weeks I've been underwhelmed by him because I was like, well, this kid can't wrestle. He hasn't been. He's just learning. And you can tell because for weeks he came down like he was nervous, but he had to do it. He was upset, and I was like, I wasn't looking forward to the match too much because I didn't think he was going to deliver, because I figured he was just having this moment, this introduction to the business moment. But this guy got in the ring and performed. I'm like, oh, so he's been doing this for a while. So all this time he's been playing us, making it seem like he can't even get in the ring in the first place. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing, but he's got to defend his dad. And then all of a sudden, this guy gets in the ring. I'm like, man, this kid has a bright future. I said, one thing Roger said at the end as well, I said, the psychology, the way he carried young superstars struggled the most with ring psychology. That's why Daniel Bryan, that's why the Randy Orton, those guys are always harping on the NXT guys about the ring psychology. And it's not just in WWE, because if you look at AEW, not to change subjects, Chris Jericho and Jim Ross have been saying the same thing about a lot of the younger guys in AEW. Like, you guys are, this is not a spot monkey fest every match. Like, you slow it down. Tell your story. That way it carries you that much longer. You don't got to work as hard. So the fact that he was able to do that, I was thoroughly impressed. Because that, for weeks, he's walked out kind of timid, like I didn't know what I was going to do. But when he showed up in that ring, he looked like he belonged in it. Ray's involvement. I'm going to be honest with you. I was so nervous about this match. I was like, I don't trust Dominic Mysterio. I could see him turning on his dad right now. Like, I got nervous. I was like, man, he's going to turn on his father. I can see it right now. He's going to join Seth Rollins. But he lost, which he's supposed to do because he's a young guy. Seth, credit to Seth Rollins, because Seth Rollins definitely was the guy that, like, he carried them both. Like, he got a lesson with Seth Rollins tonight that wrestlers are not going to get for 10 years without literally being in a ring with somebody that's that good to teach you on that level, to make a casual viewer say, yo, I really enjoyed this match. Because they, even if I didn't know what happened 3-4 weeks, because I haven't watched 3-4 weeks, I saw it play out in the ring. As an older fan, that's what's important to me, because I'm not a kid anymore. So you watch wrestling, you got to watch it with a different eye after a while. We're very critical about it, but at the same time, though, we care about their story because that's what we grew up on. That's changed because of times and the product that we watch today. But when I say I was thoroughly impressed, I said, man, Don Mysterio has a bright future in his business. I was thoroughly impressed with what he brought to the table. The match was excellent. And the minute I saw the question marks on Seth Rollins' gear, I said, that's definitely a homage to Rey Mysterio. I didn't pay attention at first when I saw the top part of his gear when he first came out, but mm-hmm. As soon as I saw the question mark, anybody that's had a Rey Mysterio action figure or has ever played WCW World Tour or WCW NWO Revenge, you know that gear. You know that question mark. And I was like, oh, man, that's that. And Seth Rollins has a way of doing it. Him and Johnny Gargano have a lot of ways, and Sasha Banks, not to not include the women, but they have a very, very good way of paying respect or paying homage to a lot of their favorite superstars, mm-hmm. you know, in the ring with their gear. So, you know, I my applause to both gentlemen. I'm thinking WWE did an excellent job with that.
Hey, Brian, pull that comment up real quick.
Shout out to Shark Williams. The Sean the Shark Williams in the comments watching live says, the Seth Rollins storyline is one thing, but enough with the damn eye gouging crap. It's stupid and nobody's buying it. I agree.
Hey, man. Look, I agree with them, but every time they show that promo, well, that whatever that is with Seth and Ray, and he get cross-eyed when he's doing it, that's what is hilarious.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
You know, it's funny.
You know, Dre didn't address Seth Rollins like we do on the chat. The uh-oh. NyQuil Messiah.
Yeah, he is the NyQuil Messiah.
Well, tonight, he
that's what he does. Like,
you mean Sunday ring, night. Sunday
in the ring, he does this thing, but he gets that microphone and said, it's like, okay, all right, I'll be back.
I was like, all right, Faye Jesus, put the mic down.
Yeah, you're like, please. Please. Like, okay, we get it.
Now, you know, Pat McAfee, yesterday, him and Adam Cole had an incredible match. Adam Cole got the win. I was a little nervous. I was like, Adam Cole better not lose this match. I thought he did good. What did you guys think about his debut? Did y'all get a chance to check out TakeOver? I'm going to be honest with you. This was probably, for this to be TakeOver 30, and I think it's also just the state of NXT right now, this wasn't that prototypical TakeOver I'm used to. I would dare say it's probably amongst the bottom five. When I think about
is there a bottom five?
Well, if this was in it, you know, Brooklyn, TakeOver Brooklyn to me is special. That's like in a class of its own.
Right.
TakeOver Dallas, another one. The debut of Shinsuke Nakamura. You know, it's had so many moments. And then what was the TakeOver Chicago one time? Dwayne, you and I talked about it, how we was like, okay, we'll see how it is. And it blew us away, you know. So when you look at this one, were y'all Did y'all enjoy it? What did y'all think? And especially McAfee and Adam Cole.
Well, let me go first because I didn't. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't see that match, but I heard Pat McAfee did his thing, and I'm glad he did his thing because he definitely has great mic skills, man. He's been promoting that match for the last couple weeks, and he was on a lot of other people's shows on his own podcast, just talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, this brother, if he wants to be, he could be somebody's manager for real. He is fantastic with the mic skills. And not only is he fantastic with the mic skills, but we found out he could actually wrestle. Yeah. And that's a plus too. But I mean, I'm gonna go back and watch it because I didn't see it. But shout out to Pat McAfee, man. I mean, he had a lot of people coming after his head. Like, why are you doing this? Are you trying to be like the next Rob Gronkowski or Cain Velasquez? Or are you trying to embarrass yourself? Nah, man, he's not trying to embarrass himself. He's been in that training. He's been doing this thing, man. And I hope he comes back to wrestle again. I really do.
Hey, Raj, and the fact that he could just hold his own is amazing. And you know, you said you piggybacked off the skills of his mic skills, but then to back it up, like you said, with his in-ring ability, I was kind of surprised because to me, I thought once Adam Cole lost the NXT title to Keith Lee, I thought that was the end of Adam Cole and maybe the Undisputed Era until SummerSlam. What I was thinking is that the Undisputed Era would somehow get involved in this Drew McIntyre-Randy Orton match. But NXT, though, I understand your point too, Brian, about it isn't what we've been accustomed to with NXT in the past. Maybe it's because of the lack of fanfare there. But
I just think it's a transition period. That's all.
But I mean, NXT in the past, we've seen, you know, like you said, so many stars being just their coming out party. I mean, you know, you can never forget about Sasha Banks and Bayley at NXT. I mean, that's always, like you said, is going to be a staple as far as like NXT takeover matches. I mean, even what was it, the NXT with Survivor Series last year when we had Chimba and off the steel cage put Adam Cole through a table. So you know, NXT always brings it. So even on a bad, or even if you think it's a bad pay-per-view, it's still a good pay-per-view overall. And the fact that we have somebody who is going to have a coming out party and maybe the next transition for NXT as some superstars leave NXT to the main roster. NXT, you'll see, is still a staple in of itself, making new superstars for years to come, and something that we're going to want to continue to see in the Wednesday Night Wars. I'm going to say Monday Night Wars, but
is it really a war though, Dre?
No,
it is.
It's not a war.
I think so.
It's a good question. Man.
Wait, 18 to 49?
Yeah, that's what everybody keeps climbing about. Yeah.
Demos.
Well, it's hard with basketball season, but if you have two wrestling promotions going at it at the same time, it kind of, honestly, it makes sense for AEW to take on NXT as opposed to Raw or SmackDown to me, honestly speaking, because, you know, you have some independent guys out there who are trying to make a name for themselves, but at the same time, that's what we're doing in NXT, so why not? The Wednesday Night War is where it is. It it makes sense of itself, and it's going to push each other to really catapult. I mean, you know, a lot of us, we already know about Adam Cole for years before he even, you know, made it to NXT, and then to have the Undisputed Era. That's something that's must-see TV to me.
I'll tell you one thing that was interesting last night. The basketball game went over, which forced AEW to come on late, and it ran right into TakeOver. I believe they wanted to come on an hour before TakeOver. So I know me, I didn't see AEW. I was surprised because personally, I wasn't going to watch the tournament because I didn't want to see Brand win the trophy, which she didn't.
And she didn't, thank God.
Yeah, so, but you know, It was unfortunate for them because they did have to go against NXT pay-per-view with their regular show.
and the NBA playoffs switching over to ESPN and ABC later. So, and the Thunder game went to overtime.
Hey, by the way, right? you said the playoffs, right? So,
yes, we're getting it done.
Talking about LeBron. All right.
Shout out the Lakers.
No guy from Akron talk.
And happy birthday to the late and great Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
Number 2-4.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
My boy, the Bean.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
You already know.
We'll see you again, brother.
So we want to take a quick break. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you have subscribed to our YouTube channel. We have a segment on here called Give Me the Book. And it's where Dwayne and I take things and we rewrite the way we want them to be. So here's a quick clip of our full segment called Give Me the Book.
It should have been the Rock and Triple H, the match we got at Backlash. When you think about some of the top rivalries we've seen in professional wrestling, mm-hmm. We've seen Hogan and Savage in the main event. We've seen Hogan and Warrior, Hogan and Andre. Mm-hmm. We've seen Bret and Shawn.
Okay.
We've seen Austin and Rock. We got even John Cena and Batista. We never got Randy Orton and John Cena one-on-one at Mania.
Okay.
Don't want it now. But we never got Rock and Triple H one-on-one at WrestleMania. That was the time to do it. The Rock had just won the Royal Rumble. Triple H was the hottest heel in professional wrestling. There was no need for the Big Show. There was no need for Mick Foley.
Yeah, it might have been a bit excessive. I guess you got a point there when you put it that way.
Yeah, you know, you go back and look at that WrestleMania. There's only one singles match.
Yeah.
You remember what that match was?
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!
All right, and we're back.
Hey, look. I forgot that singles match, too. Nobody knows that WrestleMania 2000.
WrestleMania 2000.
Check it out.
Give me the book.
Make sure you check it out. We also got one where the real Dwayne Allen rebooks Bret Hart's WCW run. So we got a lot of cool stuff on there, including a State of Professional Wrestling address. You see he has a cool shirt on. Matter of fact, I'm going to make a full screen. You see that right there? The Wrestling Realm, you know.
So wait, make sure. You could have been maybe full screen all this time, and you just purposely left me in a little corner.
Actually, you've been full screen a few times. I'm producer. So, I'm not going to use the word we called it at ESPN, but I'm a producer and director tonight.
I'll tell you.
See, he always trying to take shots. That always happens. It's guaranteed for one show, folks. It's guaranteed.
It's been a while. What can I say?
Yeah, and I'm mad because I just realized I don't have my tapped out segment because I was definitely going to run that audio. But,
man,
it's time to talk to women's wrestling tonight.
Oh, boy.
WWE bread and butter.
Right.
Really?
New champion crown. Asuka regained the Raw Women's Championship. when she defeated the Boss, Sasha Banks. After Sasha helped Bayley retain her title, Bayley tried to essentially do the same thing, but she moved in a sense, and then Asuka was on it, and then she knocked her down and then was able to get Sasha to tap out. When Sasha went to look, asking, crying for Bayley's name, Bayley was not able to get up in time. So now, you know, I tweeted and a lot of people got on me because, you know, I like to do this thing. I like to suspend my belief and go in full kayfabe, folks, on Twitter at Brian H. Waters. So what I did, you know.
Wait a minute.
Hey, I can mute you tonight. But
the Twitter.
I tweeted. I was like, man, I'm mad. I didn't want to see Asuka. Like, she's born anyway. I don't believe she's born, folks. It's just, you know, and I clarified that. But, you know, my mentions was on fire, so I had fun with it. But nonetheless, I realized this. Sasha Banks' Raw Championship run was never meant to be a lengthy title run. I saw that, you know, I was talking to Dre about this before we went live. It wasn't meant to be a lengthy title run. Sure, I would have, you know, if you gave me the book, what I would have did, I would have had all this kind of happen around Survivor Series. I would have got them so high on their high horses, and then the Survivor Series start to break it down, deteriorate. Sasha wins the Royal Rumble, beats Bayley, runs with the title until Becky Lynch comes back or Charlotte come back, and then give her a whole year run. That's how I would book it. But nonetheless, she'll probably, you know, next week is Payback. I don't even know who they're defending the tag titles against. We just know they're defending the tag titles. You know, this they're really rushing this at a pay-per-view, but when you got your own network, you can do that because we're gonna tune in. Dre, have you calmed down? How do you feel, brother?
No, he has not.
No, he hasn't.
Because I got to admit, Dre been a Sasha fan. I was okay. Sasha was okay. But when she came back with that blue hair.
blue hair. You know, I tell you, blue is the theme tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
So hold up. She came back with the blue chew hair, D?
Oh, no. I wasn't going there.
No. We ain't going to do that. But it was the demeanor, because she was really a boss. Like, before it was like she was trying to convince us she was a boss. No, when she beat the smack out of Natty and then she went and attacked Becky Lynch, I was like, she's really a boss. I can usually do that, but I'm by myself and then I just keep going. But now, you know, you here, you're going to make you every word.
You call her Betty Crocker Lynch? Betty Crocker Lynch?
No, man. She came out and proved that she was a boss. Dre. But, you know, you've been the biggest Sasha fan since she was in NXT, you know, when she was still bland, when she still had her natural hair color. How do you feel now? It's been a couple hours. She's no longer. She still got a belt.
She got a belt, man.
You know,
she got one belt.
No.
Sasha, one belt.
I'm sorry. Sasha, one belt.
Persona, two belts banks. It fits. Like, what are you doing? Come on.
You heard what Brian said.
I was baffled because I expected Asuka to win a belt. But not beat Sasha, man. Like,
it's Sasha.
It's Sasha. Like,
okay.
But look, think about it like this, though,
if
right?
If anything, if it leads to Bayley versus Sasha, then I'm happy with it. But until I see that, and as far as the tag team title one, like Brian said, they don't even have a legit tag team to face.
You know it's coming, Dre.
And you know I love me some Sasha Banks.
This was supposed to be the weekend she was supposed to get it in Boston.
What? Yes, true. But I mean, you know, COVID happened.
The Rona.
What I'm hoping for is, I mean, you know, hopefully, like I said, we see Sasha and Bayley down the road. It just would have been so cool if Sasha could have kept the belt and then lost it to somebody like a Bianca Belair or Shayna Baszler. I would have been okay with that.
Yeah, what Uncle Roger's doing.
Hey, don't you be disrespectful to the boss. What are you doing? Sasha Banks.
Continue your diatribe,
and the fact that she came back, like Brian said, she came
back. Give him some tissue, please.
She came back with the blue hair. I mean, I love the red hair, but she's having me love blue. Like, come on,
you should love blue anyway, Dre.
No. I'm a Kappa, so I love red. So the blue hair, you know, it just all fits. And then for her to just—I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen Sasha Banks on the losing end. Like, let's go back to Hell in a Cell, and when she lost to Becky Lynch, when she should have beat Becky Lynch. But then I was like, okay, she's going over to SmackDown. It's okay. Now you have a tap out victory to Asuka. Like, what?
Shout out to my boy David Shealy. We was talking about this. The ongoing joke that we feel Vince McMahon has is that Sasha doesn't retain the title. That was noted. This is her fifth title reign, and she's never successfully defended the title. When she retained the tag titles and she got the pin, it was a shock to me. I was like, oh my goodness, she actually retained it, because when they first won the tag titles, they had them for a month. She had her. She needed her time off. And then that was it, you know. So,
I mean, I legit don't understand it. Can she get, like you said, can she get a win at a pay per view as the champion?
Let me help Dre out here. Let me help Dre. It's gonna be okay.
Go home, it's gonna be okay.
Now I agree with you. I didn't like the finish. I think Bayley should have interfered a little more, and then really got the ball rolling. But we don't need Sasha on Raw. We need her to stay on SmackDown. On the A show, the show that's on Fox.
Well, she's going to be on both shows.
Yeah, because of tag belts. But once they lose that and then this thing degenerates downward, you're going to get what you want. She's going to be the champ. She's going to defend it. She's going to retain it several times, and it's going to be okay. But it's all right, Dre. You got to look at the long picture here. Okay. It's going to be all right. My man, Bruce Pritchard's behind her. He's helping her, I heard, and it's going to be good. Just wait.
And Bruce is going to run himself out.
Damn you, Bruce Pritchard. Damn you.
Hey, you remember Bruce told us a couple years ago. He's helping her.
He's helping himself, too.
The belt tonight, then. Stop it, Dre. Stop it.
She should be a champion.
Dre, stop.
She is still champion.
No,
crying, Dre.
He on an angry rant.
Look here, Dre. This was going to happen. At Payback, they're going to lose the tag team championship belts. And then they're going to go on a nice little long feud with each other, Bayley versus Sasha. Ooh. Yeah. Probably by Survivor Series, Sasha Banks should have Bayley's belt. And then, and guess what? She'll have.
It's going to be a little longer than that. It's going to be main.
Guess who's going to take the belt from her at WrestleMania, Dre?
Charlotte Flair.
You already know. The Burger Queen. Yes.
Be respectful to Charlotte Flair.
It really should go, in my opinion. You drag this out because this is a climax that you've been waiting. You'd rather have the fans there so you get that moment.
Drag it out to Mania, man.
Drag it out to WrestleMania. Because really,
can you?
No.
Why not?
I'm just saying it's a long time to do that. Like it's not what it used to be. We talk about a super slow build. Like this has already been going on for long enough. And don't get me wrong, I said the same thing. I said they gotta drag this out to Mania. I said if push come to shove, this could be hot enough. This could main event WrestleMania. If they really wanted to, but I don't know if they got the patience to drag this one out.
Reason why I think this could work because right now you got the tag titles. So you can always go into them carrying the tag titles, Sasha trying to get that Raw Women's Championship back, coming up short. Then you start to slowly but surely deteriorate everything between the two. What I was thinking, because we saw the other two horsewomen come up, I was wondering, I said, all right, we're not going to get 4-on-4 with at least no time soon. Yeah. But maybe, there's a way you could do the 2-on-2. Maybe when Charlotte Flair gets back, if she's back by Survivor Series, you could get the 3-on-3. Of course, I'm going back. I'm thinking Bret and Owen. That's where you start the Sasha and Bayley irritation with each other, Royal Rumble. You kind of repeat the storyline, except I do think it ends with Sasha winning the Royal Rumble and then ultimately picking Bayley. But it like you said, it will be a super slow build because Labor Day, this week technically tomorrow is Sasha has been back for a year. Labor Day is the 1 year anniversary of Bayley hitting Becky Lynch with the chair. So that's when they became the besties again. And we was, seeing them two come together. So I don't know. It's definitely going to be, it will be a super slow build, but I do want to see these two, I want to see Sasha take the belt from Bayley, but I want it to be in a meaningful match.
By the way, you said main event WrestleMania, them two. That's not going to happen. Cause guess who's going to main event WrestleMania? The main event could have happened this year's WrestleMania: Roman versus Goldberg.
It'll be back. Oh no! Come on, man, stop it!
Yeah, Goldberg did.
Please,
you know what though? He wanted something again. Goldberg did say he signed a few years.
Yes, come on, he did.
He got a 5-match deal. So
that's right. I'd rather see Roman versus Goldberg again. Stop!
No! Please stop that. Look, if we seen Sasha and Bayley at NXT TakeOver, I can imagine what they would do on a stage of like WrestleMania. It would blow the roof off, man.
That's what I'm thinking.
It'll blow the Thunderdome off.
Don't you be respectful. I want to see the EST versus the Boss. I know Dwayne.
You're going to get it.
I know Dwayne. Come on, man. You know that's money.
Here's the thing. I've been telling Brian H for a long time. I said Bianca Belair is everything Sasha Banks is trying to convince us that she was. I said if you talk about who's a boss gimmick, you look at Bianca Belair. Like everything that Sasha Banks swears she was, that's what Bianca Belair is. So Dre, I'm not against it, Dre, because trust me, I think you might be onto something because it could be one of those things where it's like, yo, you stole my gimmick. Let's be real. He's like, no, I'm not living the gimmick. It's the same issue that Naomi has. Naomi's like, look, I'm not a ghetto girl. So she comes in here, y'all, like, her head twirling and stuff. You're not buying it. Like, she's from Orlando. But Sasha Banks was the same way. I'm the boss, but I'm from Boston. I'm Snoop Dogg's cousin. Bianca Belair walked through the room. He said, wait a minute. That's the boss.
Hold up.
You know, I was watching the Untold yesterday, and they talked about how Dusty Rhodes was influential because he was the only person who really believed in the boss gimmick. And it made me think
that day.
Yeah, it made me think, like, man, if Dusty was still here, we got to admit, people might not want to admit this, but Dusty Rhodes, Paul Heyman, obviously Bruce Prichard, Jim Ross, they all got some L's, you know. But right. I think in this case, he probably could have helped her develop it better. But I do think she's done a better job now because, I mean, she's still a boss, but she's got this new attitude, but she's also refreshed. But right. I do want to see Sasha and Bianca, but I think right now D-Brought getting Sasha off of Raw, keep her on SmackDown, and I think that allows room for Bianca to be up next after, if we're going to get Asuka and Shayna, Bianca Belair can be the next, you know, next in line.
Yeah.
Because she's the only...
And I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just going to say that real quickly, that it's believable if Bianca takes on Shayna and beats her.
Well, she got to get that win back because she could never beat her in NXT.
Yeah, oh, Bianca, sure. But Bianca just has that believability factor to her, like that she can legit beat anybody. I mean, like the amazing ability to me is that I think that, like, if you talk about strength, she has that. If you talk about her mic skills, she has the, like you said, like she can go back, if she can go toe to toe with Sasha, if we're talking about a boss. So the fact that she just kind of has to be wrestling.
Like, she could be the best woman in wrestling, Dre.
She don't have a dance partner right now. I think she will, but right now the issue is nobody dancing.
I mean, I could go on for a while about Bianca Belair, about who I would love to see her face and whatnot, but I agree, Brian, that down the road, I think that if you have somebody defeat Shayna, I think it's believable with somebody like a Bianca. You just got to build her up a little bit more. And hopefully we don't see her take a back seat again like we did once WrestleMania was, once she made her WrestleMania, her after WrestleMania debut, and then her flame kind of kindled out, but now she's back. She's with the Street Profits, but I would love to see her build up in that women's division, and then hopefully one day as Raw Women's Champion.
I see it. I agree. I definitely see it. Oh,
you know, another scenario that somebody brought up was Naomi and Bianca Belair with Sasha Banks as the new as a new trio.
Team bad
2.0
bad. But hopefully they would call it something else.
Nah, I don't need to see
that. Team bad again. Bianca,
we don't need to see all that.
Yeah,
who's bad?
Who's bad?
Team who's bad. But speaking of Bianca, tonight we saw Street Profits retain the tag titles. Yeah, it's kind of obvious. I say it all the time. Angel Garza is just too good for Andrade as a tag partner. And the reason why I say that is because that dude has so much charisma Andrade is like, when we first saw Andrade come to the main roster, like, okay, this guy's really good in the ring.
He's a muscle, yeah.
But now, you know, and then he was like, okay, it's a perfect match, him and Zelina Vega. He gets in trouble. They bring up Angel Garza. It was like, well, I don't care about Andrade no more because, you know, I got these two. And then, you know, he got this little deal going with Charlie Caruso and all that. Are we going to now see a split between this tag team because they still couldn't get over the Street Profits?
No, because there's nothing else for Angel Garza and Andrade to do right now. To be honest with you, I think that's why they put them in a tag team, but it's like, once again, I go back to the unfortunate effects of COVID. When they couldn't fly people in, those guys were there every week and they were reliable. They were good hands you could put in the ring. They could tell you stories in the ring because they couldn't tell you stories outside the ring because they didn't know what they were doing because of COVID-19, right? So now those guys are reliable, but at the same time, it's like, what do you do with them? Because everything was so up and down, you didn't know what was going on. So now their tag team is the best way to keep them relevant and on screen at the same time instead of – like you said before, when Andrade was out, it was like, well, shoot, Angel fits better with Selena Vega than Andrade did. And Andrade comes back, and it's like, so what? Are they a tag team? She got two clients? And it's like, I get it, but it's tough to say. They're too good not to showcase, but at the same time, they really have nothing to do right now.
Right.
Yeah, I gotta agree, Dwayne. They stuck in the middle. They all had lost to the Street Profits on NyQuil about a month ago, I think, and then they set up for this match tonight. Didn't see Bianca Belair out there tonight. I thought that would have been something good, her and Selena, continuing going at it, but
that was another match they gave us on Raw, you know?
Yeah, they did. And what is it for both sides to do really now? What's next?
Yeah, well, Street Profits entertained. They tag champs.
That's what's wrong for Raw's tag team championship division.
No, what you need at this point, to me, merge the tag team division so that way you can have stuff like the Street Profits versus the Usos or versus the New Day whenever they come back. But I think at this point, merge the tag team division and stop jobbing the Viking Raiders too.
They on underground, Dre. They on underground.
It's just ridiculous to me. It's too many tag teams out here, too many good feuds that you can possibly have if you just made it the tag team division an even playing field as opposed to dividing the tag teams. I think that would help also buffer it so that way you don't see a rematch of the Street Profits versus Andrade and
Garza.
Because we've seen that same match at WrestleMania, now we're seeing it at SummerSlam. What are we going to see in the Survivor Series next?
You're right. I didn't even think of that. Goss and them, they're fight for it.
The only thing that made it interesting was the poison. And then, you know, it was just basically a recycled thing that they did a few months ago. No, at this point, make it an even playing field. Like I said, stop having the Viking Raiders job so that way we can believe the Viking Raiders are a legit tag team. The Street Profits are good. When the New Day comes back full circle, they're good. The Usos, when they're healthy, they come back good. There's enough tag teams out here where you legit could have a tag team roster and you can have the type of tag team matches that you had back in the day with the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian. All the fixings are right there for a good recipe. Let the cake go ahead and do its thing on its own.
Dre, you have great points, and I believe everything you're saying.
Uh-oh.
But that's never going to happen.
Who gets Look at the Revival and the Good Brothers. That's all you got to do.
My point is, who gives a damn? If Angel or whoever stays together, who cares? Let's move on.
I mean, he's kind of, he's right. I mean, I can't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I before we get out of here, two guys I want to bring up, Big E and Keith Lee. It was announced that Keith Lee is going to Monday Night Raw. You know, he lost the NXT championship.
For what? What is he going to do?
Just go be on Raw Underground is what he's going to do.
Bask in his glory, man.
What glory?
What are you talking about? Don't start shelling. Don't you do that.
Bask in his glory.
Been good.
But no, seriously. I was sitting there like, it felt underwhelming. You just throw up a graphic, Keith Lee coming to Monday Night Raw. I kind of feel like it's rushed, especially, you know, because now it just looks like, which we all figured, he got the championship because of everything that was going on in the country. Even though it's kind of not fair to say because he did earn it and, you know, to be able to beat Adam Cole, but he was a victim of having a guy like Karrion Kross right there in the wings. It was like, you know what? There's no way Keith Lee is going to hold on to his title that long.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's coming to Monday Night Raw, but, you know, what do you do with him? You know, are you going to put him in the Hurt Business?
Vince is in full-fledged build new stars mode. So he wants to see all fresh faces, and he's just going to – he's like, look, we've been given a transition period. Let's just use it. Like I said, when Hogan, when Savage, when all those guys in the 80s began to get older, after a while they were not drawing the same money, Vince said, let's go with the youth movement. The Shawn Michaels, the Bret Harts, those guys were saying, give these younger guys a shot. The Diesels, the Razors, the Shawn Waltmans, they wanted their space. And when those guys left and eventually traded into WCW, the business was still at an all-time low. Like, I get it. So now he's like, look, the business is already at a low. We might as well just start trying to create new stars. Now, the one thing I do applaud him for in regards to that in this era is that he doesn't mind sacrificing the money now for the money later. Because while everybody's still playing the hits with their familiar faces right now, they're not building nothing for later. They're going to have to start over again. versus mm-hmm. Vince that goes into overdrive. Like, okay, new faces, new faces, new faces, new faces. But then when you do that, what happens when your new faces don't make you money? So now you're a casualty because I'm trying to create new stars and you're paying out the way I wanted you to. Look at freaking Ricochet. What is he doing now? He was considered one of those guys. Oh, Ali, Mustafa, those guys were like, oh, let's give these guys a shot. And then when they realized they started going and going and going, and it goes, okay, this isn't working out too well. Same thing happened with EC3. The problem with him was it took a night. He said, let's put him in feud with the world champion, Dean Ambrose. And Vince was like, oh, no, this guy's terrible. He's done. He was never saying after that.
Nope.
So it's like these
guys, in the closet.
I don't know what you do with these guys. Like, I get it. I get the idea of it. Like, let's create new stuff. Okay, cool. But what in the world are you going to do with when your product is already got plenty of question marks as it is?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Preach to him. Preach.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
Look, gentlemen, I've been saying it since the beginning of time. Vince has been destroying everything, man. He's been killing everything. I
will give him that.
Rusev had a push. Rusev was supposed to be the man, and he killed that.
Yeah.
No, he told him that the fans was trolling him.
Yeah, he did tell him. I'm like, really, man?
Alistair Black is a damn great wrestler. Where is Alistair Black now? What is he doing?
He'll be on Monday.
He'll be on the Fat Man show tomorrow night.
He's gonna come back as a Fat Man.
He's going to call it a day.
He's going to do a new gimmick on Monday. Watch. No longer is it going to be a devil guy.
And what was the guy from the Nexus movement? I forgot his name.
Which one?
Wade Barrett.
Even Wade Barrett had something going for him.
Bad News Barrett got hurt, though. When he was Bad News Barrett.
That injury, you hurt him.
The injury doomed him.
Every time. Remember, he was going to win Money in the Bank, apparently, at WrestleMania 28. And then he got hurt. So they took the whole thing off and made it a paper.
Ray, that got some bad news. I've heard again.
I just feel that Vince is going to completely destroy Keith Lee, man.
I
really do. I have a feeling he's going to.
Mark Henry said he got big man magic.
No, I don't think he's standing a chance.
Are you serious? Mark Henry? Don't say his name again.
Shark brought up and said you had the Forgotten Sons, but then, you know, Ryker Gunner started running his mouth and screwed over his partner.
And now they are fully forgotten.
Big E, did you guys check out Talking Smack? Miz was trying to push him there. Miz was asking him, why aren't you, you know, you're not serious enough. He's saying the same stuff Booker T says, like, you're not serious enough. You play around. And Big E said, look, I'm going to be me. I'm not going to be this mean. Basically said, I'm not going to be an angry black man like everybody want me to be. But when it get between those ropes, I'm going to take care of business and I'm going to go back to being who I am.
Hold up. Time out. Wait a minute. Wasn't he an angry black man coming in?
It didn't work.
Yes.
Three ain't enough, man. I need five.
Well actually, I actually thought it kind of worked because wasn't Cena like he was IC champion and Cena was backing him.
If it worked, Dre, what happened?
It fizzled. It's like everything.
It fizzled. It fizzled, and then one for the New Day wouldn't happen. But to that being said, why is Talking Smack back? Renee Young is not a part of
because
she's out of the company now. But I mean, we didn't want Talking Smack for days
on Tuesdays on Fox.
That time slot was deaf. That was deaf.
Yeah, I don't know why
they should have took over. What's his name? Show the one that Jason Whitlock used to have. That's where they should have put it.
Crap lock.
At least show replay.
This is a family show.
I will say this though. What is cool that you can just turn on Fox Sports 1 randomly throughout the week and catch wrestling.
That is fun.
That's true.
I saw SmackDown the other night by mistake, so that was fun. I don't know what day it was. I just flipped in the channel. It was like 11. And I was like, oh, snap.
It was like Thursday night. It was right after the game went off.
It was nothing else on TV.
They've been showing classic pay-per-views, too. They show SummerSlam 92.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love watching random wrestling. Just randomly.
You do like that. But that time slot, first of all, I don't know what they're going to do without Renee Young. And then second, the time slot, like you said, it's so horrible. Like, I mean, people our age are probably asleep at that time. And then if you have kids, they like, what in the world? I don't even want to watch
11 p.m. on Tuesday night.
Something, you know?
Wait, that's Talking Smack's hour? Because I saw it on Saturday.
No, it doesn't come on after Friday.
It comes on after the show.
After SmackDown, it needs to come right on. Yeah. I love it that they have Raw Talk back, but Talking Smack should have been back. And especially the thing that killed me about Talking Smack is that it was legit heat. Like
at it was one of the best combinations.
You were looking for destroyed that as well.
Yeah, Vince killed that.
And Vince
killed that. It was crazy because like I remember Talking Smack is the reason we had Daniel Bryan and The Miz again. Like it was so hot, and then
that there Daniel we go, Bryan went Uncle Raj on The Miz. Got up and left.
I mean that's why The Miz got that last push. Like people like, let's take this guy serious a little bit more. Like I mean that, and that lets all types of things, movies, Miz and Mrs. Like you know, and then he
Cannonball. He does Cannonball.
And that's what he was saying to Big E.
Yeah, and he also had the opportunity to help out Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas. They had that run when they moved in the Raw. Like you know what I mean? He did the movies with him. One of those, I guess, it was a Marine movie or something. And then they had a run.
It all boils down to Vince. Everything boils down to
he gotta
Vince.
Let
everything
go, some.
Leads to him. Everything leads to him. This is all of him. This all
I
him.
Mean, the pandemic, because I had a feeling, believe it or not, I had a feeling that he was going to dial it back a little bit because the XFL was back.
Yeah.
And then the Rona happened.
And then the Rona happened and he happened.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing these stories about all these other superstars. And people goes, you know what? If Triple H was a little bit more in charge, I wouldn't have left. Which means that people are not choosing to leave. People are saying, I want to stay, but I just can't. And I'm like, that's when you know you have a problem. FTR, they didn't want to go anywhere. Like, who doesn't want to work for the biggest company? Matt Hardy said the same thing. The OG group, they all say, yo, we want, like, we didn't want to leave. I say, like, if Triple H was in charge, he listened to us. You know, we could get our ideas. And he said, but at the end of the day, that guy, Dean Ambrose, same thing. He just wanted a little bit more freedom to be natural. I'm like, dude, let these people, like, and the crazy part is you did it at one point. Why are you going to wait till somebody kicks your tail in the ring to say, screw it, take the reins off? Because we went, because the same issue was going on in the 90s with the before the Monday Night Wars break out. Like the guys kept saying, yo, they're micromanaging everything that we're doing. And then when they kept losing events, like, look, forget it. We go out of business anyway. Do whatever. Stone Cold Steve Austin DX.
And you brought him up, Stone Cold. You know, Vince don't want to entrust the company behind one big superstar like that no more because of what Austin did to him. Granted, he had John Cena, and John Cena is just a whole different animal. But when would you actually have that opportunity to have a guy who's going to love your company the way John Cena did, who literally said, I don't want to have a wife or children because I love WWE so much.
Yeah.
That's definitely.
But I mean, then again, I mean, Brian, you're bringing up a good. I mean, it's a good point. But I mean, there are not too many men out there like that. I mean, you have that with like you know the NBA where you had somebody like a Kobe Bryant and then LeBron James. In the NFL right now, they're blessed to have Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. In the WWE,
those franchise players.
Who is that guy? And granted, you want to give it to somebody like a Roman Reigns, but the problem is it was rushed to Roman Reigns as opposed to like naturally developed.
Yeah, so everybody's on the same playing field.
Exactly.
So Roman back now, he's healed.
You need to be able to give room and develop these guys as opposed to rushing everything. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we can have another guy who's going to be able to take over the business. But as far as somebody just loving it, I think that there are people out there that love the business and who are willing to make the sacrifice, especially when they see on the back end some people like The Rock, John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Austin, you know, who have been able to do things post their career. But
blame Austin, he walked out.
It's just going to be a while. I mean, Austin walked out, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, Austin did carry the company for a while, and Austin right now is able to do his thing in Hollywood.
You know what I'm saying? That's why Vince is the way he is, because Austin walked out. Like, you know.
He's not the only one. Don't blame Brock Lesnar, too.
Definitely.
I legit think the only person who didn't never walk out on was The Undertaker.
And he wasn't a mega star the way those guys were. Let's be real. Like, Undertaker is a megastar in wrestling, but crossover appeal way Austin, like global superstars.
Well, at the same time, Undertaker made a sacrifice though to do that because he was a company man.
Word again.
I think Undertaker could have developed into something, but
he couldn't. Never,
I don't think so.
I think maybe somewhere like on
not with them gimmicks, man.
Horror film. I don't know.
Here's why I say no, Dre. Here's why I say no, because Undertaker talked about it in the last ride. He kept saying, "I live my gimmick for the sake of the business." So like he wasn't doing interviews, he wasn't making appearances. He was his thing was this is what my character is. I'm not gonna switch this up because this is what I need to do. I need to live my gimmick. And when you got that type of attitude, it's like, well, how can you be a commercial star if you're not willing to be able to say, okay, I got to go and read this in Kathy Lee this morning? Stone Cold did it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? You know why the reason it didn't happen? Because he didn't have somebody like Dwayne Allen pushing him.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Okay. All I know is this. Vince has to take his hands off the creator.
Yes, he does.
Let these brothers.
Yes, big time. Brothers, big time.
Let these brothers come up with something. And if it gets over, let it get over.
Yes. Don't bring it back. Indeed.
Let it go. Let it keep it moving. Yeah. And endorse that. That's all.
Yeah, like he used to do. Over, man. Rusev was over. I mean,
big time.
I don't know if y'all been to a show
organically.
That, naturally. Yeah, those Rusev Day chants were loud.
And he was. What about? Was a heel.
I mean, Brian, you're saying Rusev Day. What about when the Cesaro section? Like you had,
Cesaro
giving away this stuff to you, so that way you know you can have that in this. It just time and time again. I mean, the only one I remember that they listened to the fans on was the
Daniel Bryan.
And
the only reason they did that because CM Chump left. Because the Chump left.
Hold up, B. You might be a chump, but he said it back then. He said it back then that
he did. He did. I give him that.
It's not for good. It's still relevant till today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't like. We did a show. Make sure you check it out right here on YouTube. Is Vince McMahon out of touch?
Yes.
So, yes. You know, check it
out. I'm out of touch, pal. I eat my chicken breast every day.
Out of touch. What?
But that's a paint. Out of touch.
On that Austin podcast that he still had about 5 years ago. Yeah, right. Get out of here, Vince. Go away.
Before we get out of here, gentlemen, any final thoughts on tonight? I'll start with you, Raj.
Final thoughts. This is. I mean, I cannot really call this SummerSlam. No, I feel like this was a bona fide house show. I like the couple matches in this.
Come on,
I'm sorry.
He's back, y'all.
You had a whole good show, Nicole. This is a bona fide house show.
I felt like this was a bona fide house show. The only SummerSlam match that I actually felt in this was the Seth Rollins and Dominic match. I thought that was a great SummerSlam match.
That was your match of the night.
Matches felt like either it was Raw or SmackDown, or main event if you want to say that tag team championship match.
Oh man!
And then on top of that, how are you gonna have the Intercontinental Championship on your pre-show?
You mean U.S.?
Or you mean the USA title? You mean USA title?
Because
they didn't even have the IC belt. They didn't even have the IC belt on.
Because Fox wants AJ.
But my thing is this. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, y'all got to bring more creativity to this. I mean, the whole thing was called, you ain't going to see it coming, and all we got was Roman Reigns.
Okay. No, we got a backslide.
Huh?
We got a backslide for a finish.
Oh,
one, two, three.
Sound like a preacher on Sunday.
Man.
Don't do backslide now.
Come on, man.
I will say this, though.
This show could have been a lot better if they would have actually, you know, put more effort into it.
All right, we'll give you the book real quick. You change one thing about the show. You could change one thing. What would you change? You got the book.
If I could change one thing about this show, I would have got rid of that tag team. That tag team match did not need to be there.
Okay.
It didn't fit. I would change that.
Oh my goodness. We ain't talk about the Mandy Rose and
Now you don't got to. We good. You don't got to. We good.
I brought it up early in the whatchamacallit.
He definitely did.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You did.
I brought it up, so
I'm good.
So
D.
You know. To Roger's point, I gotta somewhat agree with him in this sense. A lot of these matches was on Raw or SmackDown in recent months.
Yeah.
You know, I've been Mandy Rose
about rematches.
And we've seen a lot of them tonight. You know, Asuka and them been fighting back and forth on Raw for the last couple months. And I mean, the only original match you seen was Drew against Randy Orton, because you've seen Fiend and Bray in some variation since the end of WrestleMania. So I mean, I give it a solid C because in-ring, they always bring it in-ring, but stories outside of the Dominic match, outside of Asuka and Bayley and the women, of course, once again, I mean, it was okay. I mean, then to me, it didn't really set up for Payback either. That was the other question mark. You got a pay-per-view coming next week, like they did back in 91 with Survivor Series and Tuesday in Texas. It set up each other, and they didn't do that tonight either.
At all.
At all. Ridiculous.
All right. Dre.
Oh, man, don't even get me started because you already know what I'm going to say. Sasha Banks losing the belt.
All right.
That was the most egregious thing, and that's the only thing that I would have rebooked. Outside of that, though, overall, the pay-per-view, I think that, I mean, to me, this is what SummerSlam should have been and was supposed to be. I like the finish of the Randy and the Drew McIntyre match. I was happy with even the Fiend match and the fact that we got the big dog back. But I just am upset that Sasha Banks lost the belt.
Okay, we get it.
No, don't you talk about
it.
We get it. I say that we brought it home.
I see the veins is popping in your neck too. I see the veins popping.
Come on, y'all. Know how you feel about Sasha Banks. Why would y'all get him?
Yeah, he might get blue in his veins next. I don't know.
Somebody's gonna get an email about them.
The realness.
Okay, first and foremost, the biggest thing I was impressed tonight is Dre's tremendous man beard. Can we put Dre's face back up on the screen real quick? Yo, first of all, look at that thing.
Wait a minute.
That thing is coming in so good. Look at that thing. That's a grown man right there. Like, Dre, that's working right for there. You.
Oh,
for the ladies that's out there watching, there's his Twitter handle right there on the screen.
Whoa, Brian, he's taking.
He's taking.
That didn't come through the group chat. Let me take that off.
he's taking. No, don't do
he's
that.
He's taking again.
Yeah, don't do that. But he's taking for now.
We don't want no problems.
No smoke. We don't want no smoke. Get it?
Look, I heard a story already, but I'm not going to get into it. Outside of Drake's magnificent beard, I will say that the Dominic Mysterio and Seth Rollins match probably impressed me the most out of everything. And between that and just the presentation of the product and the Thunderdome, it was something different. It was creative. We see something similar in the NBA, but just to see that if there's one thing that WWE does well, it's always production. So for them to take that step in regards to trying to present their product, whatever product they gave us, and something that was unique, it was different, and it kind of, to me, it was the best form of what I've seen somebody try to reminisce or try to give us that same feeling of a live audience at a show. So between that and Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio's and Seth Rollins match, I mean, that was the thing that, you know, I can say, like Ryder said, that, and when you look what he said, he's not lying. Like, that felt like a summer, just like Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins felt like a WrestleMania match, even though it was in the Performance Center. This match right here felt like this was a SummerSlam moment that we're going to talk about for years to come. So,
yeah.
I got a wild card question for y'all.
Yep. Oh, Lord.
When did they start making people pay for the Thunderdome?
Oh, it's free. I thought people was paying already. My bad.
Mm-mm, you just signed up, but you got to. So I tried it and I went to my computer. They said 5:30 was check-in time. So it was like 5:25 and it was like, oh, it's full. So, you know, and I don't know if y'all saw, but somebody got kicked out because they had a sign that said Fire Velveteen Dream.
Is that where
they
came from?
Yeah, he had the sign, and you know, because you're on the webcam, you have to like create it back, invert it, and that's what he did. So boom, right on the screen, it was doing the Sasha Banks match. I'm pretty sure they'll go in the network, you know, they'll go through and pre-produce, reproduce stuff.
Not touching it. Nope.
But
literally.
But the thing is, you know, I was sitting there and I saw some, and I was thinking about it. I saw somebody say, like, when do they start charging people? Because you think if this pandemic continues through the wintertime, by the time Royal Rumble gets here, I could see WWE saying, all right, you got to pay $20 or $9.99 or whatever just to get a seat.
And the Thunderdome.
I'll say this.
I
hope they don't.
Do not charge them. Do not charge them.
Right.
No. If there's a second wave, if there actually is a second wave that's coming in November or October or whatever, then yeah, you charge them. You charge them all everything. You charge them everything. Yeah, man.
You it's still business, right? Like, so they can do
that. Hey, charge for your PayPal. Charge for your Cash App.
Hey, Rod, what we gonna charge you?
Nine, all that goofiness.
Right. $9.99.
Hey, all look, they done got about a couple $100 out of me since this pandemic with a belt and a side pleat. So people still buying content and going to www.shop.com, which I'm pretty sure they got the belts on sale 50%. That's a little life hack I learned. Every pay-per-view belts on sale 50% off. Overall tonight, I will say this, that we didn't talk about the match, but I was disappointed in Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville's match, but then I had to realize they've just been going through so much, all things considered, with everything going on. So I was looking at it, and I didn't like Mandy Rose gear. I saw she had debuted where she had the pants on, and then she came out there tonight, and I was like, wait, what is that? I remember when Trish Stratus said she went from the shorts to the pants because she wanted people to take her serious. And I said, okay, this is maybe something Mandy's doing, but they got it in the ring, so they was able to, I don't want to say kill off the rivalry, but now Sonya Deville is getting probably the much needed rest and stuff. But overall, I thought that this was a great presentation. I really enjoyed SummerSlam for what it was, and it just made me wonder, what if WrestleMania would have been in the Thunderdome? Now, obviously, they didn't know, but I think as good as the two nights that WrestleMania was, because I do think WrestleMania was a better pay-per-view than SummerSlam.
It was.
But I think it would have been even better. And then also looking at tonight, one thing I'm glad they didn't do was force a lot of matches. This is probably the first SummerSlam since the 90s where it was literally 2.5 hours for the show. Well, maybe a little bit over 3 hours.
It's right at three.
Yeah, so I thought that was good. And, it felt to me, I know y'all didn't like the tag match, but it was still a personal beef there. And it felt like all the matches meant something. And that's the way SummerSlam should be. We do know that most of the time when the champion wins the title at WrestleMania, usually when he goes into SummerSlam, it's like that big win that he's solidifying himself. You go back and you look at Ultimate Warrior, that win for him was over Rick Rude. Stone Cold in 98, that win for him was over The Undertaker. So that SummerSlam win tonight, we saw that for Drew McIntyre. And it's still underwhelming, but we do have a new Universal Champion. It's The Fiend, but Roman's back. So
there goes that.
There goes The Fiend again.
Not for long, buddy.
Yeah, I got to definitely give a shout out to Shark jumping in. Shark, go ahead real quick. Type the name of the book. He just became an author, so definitely want to give him a shout out. Shark has been supporting the wrestling realm.
Yes, he has.
Literally since day one. So make sure you check out the Sean Williams Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, you name it. He is there. So make sure you want to support him. I will be getting the book soon. So make sure you do that, gentlemen. Yeah, man. And then I'll have to find a way to get Shark to sign it. I mean, I don't know when I'll be in California next, so I might have to send it to his P.O. box or something like that. Or maybe I just order directly from him and get a signed copy. But, gentlemen, appreciate y'all coming on. We're going to have to do this again. This was always a lot of fun. The world was introduced to the group chat.
Yeah.
And it says maybe we can get the sixth member on here.
The sixth man.
Who is it?
I think I know who that sixth man is.
Wouldn't you guys like to know? The Lou Williams of the squad. Yes. Except he's not at Magic City getting them wings.
No, sir.
Chicken wing Lou.
He might be, though. He might be.
Chicken wing Lou.
Sean Bosham came up with that. That was so wrong.
Yeah. Oh. Until the next time, folks, I'm Brian H. Waters. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, drop a 5-star rating on all platforms. Make sure you hit the follow button and tweet us at Wrestling Realm. Until the next time, so long, everybody.
So long. Jeez. Check out the Flex Zone too.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, check out the Flex Zone. Was it 10 o'clock?
Yes, indeed. Yes. I'll be the producer of the show tomorrow. We're going to be rolling through topics. and I know your folks are upset about Earl Thomas, but it's going to be okay.
Look, I'm going to tell y'all what to do. You turn on, you mute Monday Night Raw. It's going to be on Underground anyway. So you just go ahead, hit the mute button, turn on Flex Zone. That's what I do. That's the secret, you know?
That's right.
But so long, everybody.
Peace, everybody.
So long. Peace.
Subscribe to the Wrestling Realm channel.
Yeah, if I just figure out and find the clothes.
Get that round.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Break It Down with Brian H. Hit the subscribe button and turn on the bell so you get notified every time the Wrestling Realm posts new content.
Hey, right at once.